This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving headfirst into a topic that's got everyone in digital marketing buzzing: the cookieless future and what it means for your Google ads.
Yeah. You know, this shift, it's a big one.
It really is.
It's like a tidal wave hitting the entire digital advertising world. And Google ads are right in the splash zone.
So to help us navigate these choppy waters, we're going to be using this awesome article from Double Dome Digital Marketing. It's called Data Privacy in Google Ads, Targeting Strategies for a Cookieless Future. And it's packed with insights and strategies to help us not just survive, but thrive in this new landscape.
Absolutely.
Now, before we get too far, I think it's important to level set for anyone who might not be totally up to speed on this whole cookie thing.
Yeah, good idea.
What exactly are cookies and why are they suddenly going extinct?
Well, imagine you're browsing a website, right?
Yeah.
Clicking around, checking out different pages.
Right.
As you do, that these little bits of data, like your browsing history and preferences, they're getting stored on your computer.
Mm.
Those are cookies. And advertisers have been using them to track your online activity and serve you personalized ads.
Okay, so it's not just about like showing me ads for shoes, because I looked at a pair once.
Yeah, you know.
They're building a whole profile on me based on everything I do online.
Yeah, exactly. That's the idea, to create a detailed picture of your interests and habits to deliver those super targeted ads, you see.
Okay, I get that part. But this article also talks about privacy concerns driving this shift away from cookies.
Right.
What's the story there?
People are becoming much more aware of how their data is being collected and used online.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of people are not comfortable with that level of tracking.
Yeah, no kidding.
You add data privacy regulations like GDPR and CCPA into the mix, and it's clear that the tide is turning.
Yeah.
Users want more control over their data and how it's used.
It's like a digital awakening, right? People are realizing they have a right to privacy online, too.
Exactly. It's about respecting user privacy and building a more ethical and transparent digital advertising ecosystem.
That sounds great in theory, but I imagine a lot of marketers out there are feeling pretty anxious about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, less data, less targeting.
You can feel scary.
Doesn't that just spell disaster for our Google Ads campaigns?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. There are definitely challenges ahead.
Sure.
But remember, with every challenge comes opportunity. And this shift is forcing us to think differently about how we reach and engage with our audiences.
So instead of seeing this as the end of an era, maybe it's the start of a new, more sustainable one?
I think so.
Like, instead of relying on this kind of spy-like tracking, we have a chance to build more genuine relationships with our audience.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
This is our chance to reimagine digital advertising altogether.
Okay. I'm starting to see the light here, but I'm still wondering, what concrete steps can we take to adapt our Google Ads strategies? This article keeps mentioning first-party data as a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Right.
What exactly does that mean, and how can we actually use it?
First-party data is the information you collect directly from your audience through your website apps, email list, customer surveys, you know, those sorts of things.
Okay, so instead of relying on third-party cookies to tell us about our audience, we're collecting information directly from them.
Exactly. It's about building those direct relationships with your customers and truly understanding their needs and preferences.
And it's more reliable than third-party data.
Right, you bet. It's coming straight from the source, and you're being transparent about what data you're collecting and how you're using it. That builds trust with your audience.
Makes sense. But how do we take that data and turn it into effective Google Ads campaigns?
That's where things get interesting. Google Ads has some powerful features like customer match.
Okay.
And similar audiences that can really help us out here.
Okay, so walk me through this.
Okay. So with customer match, you can upload your customer data, like email addresses, and target those specific individuals with highly relevant ads.
So for example, I could create a campaign that's just for people who have already bought, say, my deluxe yoga mats, and maybe offer them a discount on a new cleaning spray or something.
Exactly. You're nurturing those existing relationships and increasing their lifetime value with your brand.
Okay, that's smart. What about reaching new customers, though? The ones who are similar to my existing customers but haven't found me yet.
That's where similar audiences comes in. It takes your existing customer data and finds new users who share similar characteristics, demographics, online behavior.
So even without individual tracking, we can still tap into these broader pools of potential customers.
Absolutely. Similar audiences use the power of machine learning to find those hidden gems who are likely to be interested in what you offer.
Powerful stuff. Okay, so we've covered customer match. similar audiences. What about those broader demographics and interests we talked about earlier? Can we still target people based on age, location, gender, or general interests if we're not tracking individual browsing history?
Absolutely. Google Ads still allows you to target based on those categories.
Okay.
While it might not be as precise as individual tracking, it's still a valuable way to reach a larger segment of your target audience.
So we're casting a wider net, but we're still fishing in the right pond, so to speak.
You got it. It's about finding that balance between reaching a broad audience and making sure that audience is actually interested in what you have to offer.
Okay, that makes sense. And this is where it becomes even more important to understand our target market really well, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Who are they? What are their needs? What kind of content do they respond to?
All of that. Knowing your audience is key.
Okay, well, let's talk about another strategy that this article highlights. Contextual targeting.
Oh, yeah.
This one really caught my eye. It seems like a whole different approach. How does it work exactly?
So picture this. You're reading an article about the best travel destinations for adventure seekers.
Okay.
And you see an ad for hiking boots or travel insurance. That's contextual targeting.
Yeah.
Your ad is shown based on the content of the webpage, not on the individual user's data.
So instead of following me around the internet, the ad is aligned with the content I'm already consuming.
Exactly. It's about relevance and timing. The user is already engaged with content that's related to your product or service, making them more likely to be interested in what you have to offer.
Okay, I see. It feels less intrusive and more like a helpful suggestion, right?
Exactly.
I like that. But I do wonder, does this limit our reach compared to individual tracking?
It's possible your reach might be a bit smaller, but the trade-off is a more engaged and qualified audience. You're reaching people who are already interested in topics that are relevant to your business.
So it's quality over quantity.
Exactly. And as we move towards a more privacy-conscious internet, the focus on quality and relevance is going to be crucial.
Okay, I'm getting that. But what about Google itself? Are they doing anything to support advertisers through this transition? I mean, they're kind of the big players in this whole game.
They are. Google is investing heavily in developing privacy-focused solutions.
Okay, good, because I was a little worried there for a minute.
One example we've touched on is the Topics API.
Yeah, the Topics API. I've heard the name, but honestly, I'm a little fuzzy on the details.
It's basically a way to categorize users' interests based on their recent browsing activity, but without revealing their individual identities. So advertisers can target these broader interest categories without accessing specific user data.
So instead of knowing every single website I visited, they just know I'm interested in topics like travel or technology.
Precisely. It's about finding that middle ground where we can still deliver relevant ads while respecting user privacy.
Okay, that's reassuring. So it sounds like having a solid foundation of first-party data is crucial. But what about businesses that are just starting out and haven't had time to build up that data yet? What would you advise them to do?
That's a great question, and it highlights why a holistic marketing approach is so important.
Right.
You can't put all your eggs in the Google Ads basket.
Right.
Especially in this cookie-less world.
So we need to diversify our efforts and create multiple touch points with our audience.
Absolutely. Think about exploring other avenues like SEO, content marketing, social media, email marketing.
So it's like building a sturdy house with a strong foundation and multiple supporting pillars.
Exactly. By diversifying your marketing efforts, you're building a more resilient strategy that can adapt to any changes that come your way.
That's a comforting thought because change is definitely coming. This has been incredibly insightful. I'm already feeling less anxious about this whole cookie-less thing.
I'm glad to hear that.
But before we get too carried away, let's remember that Google Ads is just one piece of the puzzle.
Right.
So in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to explore those other vital strategies, starting with SEO.
Looking forward to it.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back. Ready to dive deeper into some specific Google Ads tactics for this cookie-less world?
Oh, yeah. In part one, we talked big picture, right? The shift to privacy first party data, the need for a more holistic marketing approach. Now I'm ready to get into the nitty gritty of how all this impacts my actual Google Ads campaigns.
All right, let's do it.
Where do we even start?
Let's pick up where we left off, customer match.
Okay.
This is a Google Ads feature that lets you use your own customer data, like those email addresses we talked about, to target ads directly to those people.
So if I have a list of customers who have already purchased, say, my deluxe yoga mats,
yeah,
I could create a campaign just for them, maybe promoting a new cleaning spray or even a loyalty program.
Exactly. It's all about nurturing those existing relationships and continuing to provide value to those who already know and trust your brand.
Okay, so these are my VIPs.
You got it. They're prime candidates for repeat purchases and could even become brand advocates spreading the word about your awesome products.
I like the sound of that. But what about finding new customers, those hidden gems who might be interested in what I offer but haven't discovered me yet?
That's where similar audiences comes in.
Okay.
Google Ads takes your existing customer data and identifies new users with similar characteristics, demographics, online behavior. It's like magic.
So even without individual tracking, we can still reach those potential customers.
Absolutely. Similar audiences leverages machine learning to find those patterns and connections, helping you expand your reach to a whole new group of highly relevant people.
Similar audiences going on the list, for sure. Now, we've talked about customer match. Similar audiences, what about targeting based on those broader demographics and interests?
Right.
Like age, location, gender, general interests.
Yeah, you can still do that. Google Ads allows you to target based on those categories.
Phew! I kick in.
It might not be as granular as individual tracking, but it's still a really effective way to reach a larger segment of your target market.
Okay, so we're casting a wider net, but we're still fishing in the right pond.
That's a great way to put it.
And this is where it becomes even more important to really understand our target market, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who are they? What are their needs and aspirations? What kind of content are they going to respond to?
Knowing your audience inside and out is key to making any of this work.
All right, now there's one more strategy I want to get your take on. Contextual targeting.
One of my favorites.
Remember in part one, you gave that example about showing hiking boot ads on an article about the best hiking trails?
Yeah.
I'm still a little fuzzy on how that works in practice, though.
So let's say you sell organic baby food.
Okay.
With contextual targeting, your ads could show up on websites or articles about parenting, healthy eating for kids, maybe even recipes for toddlers.
So it's less about following specific individuals around and more about catching them when they're in a certain mindset or consuming a particular type of content.
You got it. It's about being present in the right context at the right moment.
Mm.
It feels less intrusive and more like a natural extension of what the user's already interested in.
I like that. But doesn't that limit our reach compared to individual tracking?
Your reach might be a bit smaller. It's true.
Okay.
But the trade-off is that you're reaching a more engaged and qualified audience. People who are already interested in topics that align with your business.
It's that quality over quantity thing again.
Exactly. And as we move towards a more privacy-conscious internet, that focus on quality and relevance is only going to become more important.
Okay, I'm convinced. What about Google, though? What are they doing to support advertisers through all of this? I mean, they're the ones kind of leading the charge here.
Oh, absolutely. Google's putting a lot of effort into developing privacy-focused solutions.
Okay, good to hear.
We've already mentioned the Topics API. That's one example. They're also working on other initiatives like Federated Learning of Cohorts, or FLC.
Okay, what's that?
It basically groups users with similar interests into cohorts without revealing their individual identities.
So they're not tracking every single thing I do, but they can still put me in a group of people with similar interests, all without sacrificing my individual privacy.
Precisely. It's like being in a club. You can enjoy the benefits of group membership without having to share all your personal details.
I like that analogy. Sounds like Google's trying to walk a pretty fine line here.
They are. Trying to balance the needs of advertisers with this growing demand for privacy.
I get it. It's a tough spot to be in. But it sounds like they're making progress, which is good.
They are, and they have to.
Yeah.
The future of digital advertising depends on it.
Well, this has honestly been really encouraging. I'm feeling a lot more optimistic about the cookieless future now.
That's great to hear.
But before we wrap up part two, what's the key takeaway you want our listeners to remember about adapting their Google Ads campaigns in this new world?
Don't be afraid to experiment. Be proactive, try new things, test different strategies, and see what works best for your specific business and your audience.
So don't get stuck in the fear zone.
No way. This is an opportunity to innovate, get creative, and find new solutions.
I like that attitude. This isn't a dead end, it's a new beginning.
Exactly.
Well, in part three, we're going to step outside of Google Ads entirely and explore those other vital strategies. SEO, content marketing, social media, email marketing, and the importance of the overall customer experience.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned for the final chapter of our cookie-less adventure.
All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Mm-hmm. We spent the last two parts really getting into the weeds of the cookieless future and how it's going to impact our Google ads.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of ground.
We have. We've talked about first-party data, customer match contextual, targeting the topics API, whole bunch of strategies to make sure those Google ads campaigns are still hitting the mark in a world without cookies.
It's a whole new playbook.
It is. But now it's time to zoom out a little and look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
Because Google ads are important, but they're just one piece of the puzzle.
Right. And that's what we're going to explore in this final part. Those other essential strategies that are crucial for success in a cookieless world.
Exactly. So we've mentioned SEO, content marketing, social media, email marketing. Let's break those down one by one, shall we?
Let's do it. These strategies become even more critical as we move away from individual tracking because they allow us to build those direct relationships with our audience, provide value, earn their trust.
Okay, so let's start with SEO.
Search engine optimization. I'll be honest, SEO has always felt a little like a black box to me.
Yeah, I get that. It can seem a bit intimidating.
It can, like some secret code that only the techiest of tech people can understand.
Well, it's really not that complicated. Mm. At its core, SEO is about making your website more visible and attractive to search engines like Google. Ugh. So the better your SEO, the higher you rank in search results, and the more likely people are to find you when they're looking for something you offer.
Okay, so let's say someone searches for best organic coffee beans, and my website sells organic coffee.
Right.
I want to make sure my website pops up at the top of those search results.
Exactly. And in a cookieless world, SEO is even more important because it's about attracting people who are already actively searching for information or solutions related to your business.
So they're already interested.
Exactly. You're not interrupting them with ads. You're providing them with something they're already looking for.
I like that. It's like being that friendly shopkeeper who just happens to have exactly what the customer needs when they walk in.
Exactly. And one of the keys to good SEO is creating high-quality content, content that's relevant, informative, engaging.
So we're talking blog posts, articles, videos, infographics, all that good stuff.
All of that. Content is king in the SEO world, especially in a cookieless future.
Content is king. I like it.
Because when you create valuable content, people are more likely to spend time on your website, share it with others, and eventually become customers.
Makes sense. But SEO isn't just about content, right? There's all this other stuff like keywords and backlinks. It can get pretty technical.
You're right. There's a technical side to it as well. Keywords are still important. Those are the words and phrases people use when they're searching online.
Right.
But it's not about trying to cram as many keywords onto your website as possible.
No stuffing.
No keyword stuffing. It's about using them strategically and naturally within your content.
So it's about making sure my content actually matches what people are searching for, not trying to trick Google into ranking me higher.
Exactly. And then there are backlinks. Links from other websites to yours. Search engines see backlinks as votes of confidence.
Oh, interesting.
So the more high-quality backlinks you have, the more authoritative your website looks to Google.
So it's like getting a recommendation from a trusted source.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the best way to earn backlinks is to create amazing content that other websites naturally want to link to. It all comes back to providing value.
Okay, so I'm seeing the connections here. Great content, good SEO, building relationships. It's all intertwined.
It is. It's all part of a holistic strategy. Mm-hmm. And that brings us to content marketing.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Content marketing is all about creating and sharing valuable content to attract and engage your target audience.
So it's not just about churning out blog posts for the sake of it.
No, it's about creating content that aligns with your business goals and resonates with your ideal customers.
So my content should educate, entertain, inspire, or solve a problem for my audience.
Exactly. You're providing value and building relationships through your content.
And content marketing can take so many forms.
Oh, yeah. Blog posts, articles, videos, infographics, ebooks, podcasts, webinars, social media posts. The possibilities are pretty much endless.
It's not just one thing. It's a whole ecosystem of content.
It is. The key is to find the formats that work best for your specific audience and your business goals.
Okay, so that makes sense. But how do we figure out what kind of content is actually going to resonate with our audience?
That all comes down to understanding your target audience. Mm-hmm. Who are they? What are their interests, challenges, aspirations? What kind of content do they already consume online?
It's like we have to become digital anthropologists almost.
Right. Once you have a deep understanding of your audience, you can create content that really speaks to their needs and interests.
So it's more like a conversation than just blasting out a message and hoping someone hears it.
Exactly. And The more personalized and relevant your content is, the more likely it is to connect with your audience and drive those results you're looking for.
All right, so we've talked SEO and content marketing now. Let's talk about social media. It's already a huge part of most businesses' marketing strategies.
It is. And in a cookie-less world, social media becomes even more vital because it allows you to connect with your audience directly, build relationships, foster a sense of community around your brand.
So it's not just about pushing out our message, it's about genuine engagement.
Exactly. You're having a two-way conversation with your audience, sharing valuable content, responding to their comments and questions.
And building that trust.
Absolutely. And the beauty of social media is that it allows you to target your content and your advertising to specific demographics and interests. So you can reach the right people with the right message at the right time.
It's like having a targeted conversation in a room full of people who are already interested in what you have to say.
That's a great way to put it. And don't underestimate the power of organic reach on social media. When your content is engaging and shareable, it can spread like wildfire, reaching far beyond your immediate followers.
So it's not just about the ads we run, it's about creating content that people genuinely want to share.
Exactly. That's how you build a loyal following and expand your reach organically.
I like it. All right, so we've talked SEO, content marketing, social media. Now let's talk about email marketing, the OG of digital marketing.
It's still going strong. And email marketing is even more valuable in a cookie-less world because it allows you to communicate directly with your audience without relying on those third-party cookies or algorithms.
Right. We control the message.
You do. When you build an email list, you're creating that direct line of communication with your most engaged customers and prospects.
So it's like having a VIP list of people who have actually raised their hand and said, yes, I want to hear from you.
Exactly. And with email marketing, you can send personalized messages, share valuable content, promote special offers, nurture those relationships over time.
So we can really tailor our message to their specific needs and interests.
Exactly. And unlike social media, where your reach can be limited by algorithms, with email marketing, you have complete control over who sees your message and when they see it.
It's like having a one-on-one conversation with each person on your list.
You got it. And in a world where trust and authenticity are more important than ever, email marketing is a powerful way to build those lasting relationships.
This has been such a valuable deep dive into the cookie-less future. It can feel overwhelming at first, but honestly, I'm feeling more and more excited about the possibilities.
I am too. It's a chance to rethink our approach, get creative, and really focus on building those genuine connections with our audience.
I think the biggest takeaway is that this isn't a time to panic. It's a time to innovate and adapt.
Absolutely. The cookie-less future is full of challenges, but it's also full of opportunities to build more sustainable, authentic, user-centric marketing strategies.
We've talked about so many strategies and tactics, but it really all comes down to putting our audience first, providing real value, and building those relationships based on trust and transparency.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Embrace the cookie-less future as a chance to reimagine what's possible. Don't be afraid to experiment, try new things, and always keep your audience at the heart of everything you do.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey into the cookie-less future. We hope you're feeling empowered and ready to navigate this new landscape with confidence and creativity. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.